This morning's scripture is Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Now, we don't often hear scriptures from Habakkuk, but this one happens to be titled The Lord's Reply, and this is exactly what we need today, given the situation with everything. Listen carefully. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you.
If you'd like to know where in the world is Habakkuk in the Bible, if you have your pew Bible, it's on page 871. You know, we hardly ever hear a sermon on Habakkuk, which only has three chapters. But we do have some popular verses from this book. So, for example, from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it states, "The righteous will live by his faith." Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Cheryl has been doing a sermon series for the past three Sundays, and this one kind of ties along with that, because we have the northern kingdom of Israel. It's fallen, so Habakkuk, which is a minor prophet, ministers in the southern kingdom, which is Judah. And they struggle with the problem of evil in their days. Now, the Syrians have just fallen to the Babylonians. Habakkuk saw too much violence and atrocities and was frustrated at the apparent inaction of God. You know, sometimes we struggle with that too, especially during this year of 2020 with the pandemic and also with civil unrest. This book helps us to answer similar frustrations that we have today. Number one, when God is apparently not doing anything, or at least we think he's not doing anything, and when we expect him to. And number two, when God does things in ways that we cannot accept. We will learn from Habakkuk how we can continue to put our hope in God and trust him despite these struggles. And the structure of the book of Habakkuk is really very simple. And this is, if you're looking at the outline that we have for you, this is where you can start filling in the blanks. Habakkuk complains. Of course, we don't in our day and age, but they did back then. They complain to God, and then God answers him. So that's the next blank, answers. He launches into a second complaint, and God replies, and then he responds with a song of worship.
So I have the next five blanks. as we read from Habakkuk, the first chapter, verses 2 through 11. Here is Habakkuk's first complaint. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? There's your first blank. But you do not listen. Or I cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Second blank. Why do you make me look at injustice? Third blank. Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. This is Habakkuk's complaint to God. Can we not relate to this? Then the Lord answers, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. There's your fourth blank. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe. Final blank for me. Even if you were told, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless an impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law unto themselves, and they promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like vultures swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like the desert wind, and they gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God.
What makes this book so unusual is that it's about a debate between the minor prophet Habakkuk and God. You can say Habakkuk was arguing with God. Now, some may feel that this is inappropriate, but it's better to debate with God than to ignore him, to deal with the issues, than to pretend that nothing is wrong. These are the next blanks. To question God. Question God shows that we are serious, that we still believe him to be real and who cares about what is happening in our lives. In fact, those who do not challenge God may have given up on him, or worst, decided to disbelieve. It becomes a sign of apathy. Habakkuk asks in chapter 1, verse 2, how long, God, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Does that sound familiar? Have we heard that a lot this year with everything that's been going on? That's maybe something that we have said. Apparently, Habakkuk has seen injustice for too long. He has been asking for answers for quite some time now, and then he also issues his complaints.
It is difficult when we do not have an answer. We prayed, and nothing happens. We waited, and nothing has changed. But nothing stops us from coming to God with our complaints and questions. We can pour out our heart to God without fear. The psalmist certainly did. One third of the psalms are laments, which means expressing frustration, disappointments, and even anger towards God. One doesn't have to get to the right mood or to say the right words when you're praying. One doesn't even need to pretend that they are not there. In the past, for myself, I've had this sense of total respect for God and didn't want to be angry with Him or debate with Him, wanting to try to be nice and courteous. So I would hide my discontent, my frustration, and my anger. I have learned over the years that this is not healthy for our soul, and even, in fact, it's rather foolish. You know, God already knows the state of our souls. When I pour my heart out to God, I'm not telling Him anything that's new. And here's the next blanks. By telling Him all that I am grappling or wrestling with in my life, God helps me and brings me to a deeper understanding of His character, next blank, and His ways. It builds intimacy rather than destroying it. You can be completely open and honest before God. You don't need to pretend the frustration or anger. Philip Yancey says that the real prayer that God listens to could very well be the unspoken words in your heart.
The next two blanks are mine. They're at the very beginning, so then you can fill them in and just kind of listen. Habakkuk does answer. He answers even God's response, and God answers His. It's a true dialogue. And I love that we can have a dialogue with God. God answers Habakkuk, but He does not rebuke him. He doesn't put him down for asking him hard questions. He's fine with it. He answers in a loving way. God reveals His plan to Habakkuk. God always has a plan. Even if God isn't doing anything at the time, we see, right, through our little meager eyes, we can put our hope in God because He has a plan. God will answer according to the scriptures, and we can safely say God always answers. God always answers. Now, I love this next part. Sometimes the answer comes in a form of a silent wait. Don't you love that? Sometimes God's answers come in a form of a silent wait. Now, to us who are impetuous people, impatient people, that is not an answer. All right? We don't necessarily care for that. But for God, it is. Perhaps remaining status quo for a time is the answer. We know all things change, so it's going to be just a short hiatus. But it's sort of like just as a child requests from an adult. An adult says something like, well, hey, you know, just stay where you're at. Don't go anywhere or don't do anything, and I'll come get you. Now, how often do children listen to that, number one? And the first question, as we are raising all three of our kids, I don't know how this becomes natural, and I don't know who teaches a child to say this, but anytime you give them explicit instructions, the only one word question that comes out of their mouth is, why? Why? Who teaches these 2 to 3 year olds to say that? But it was so consistent with all three of ours. Why? So patiently, as adults, we answer it the first time. So then what does the child say? Why? So then you answer that question. Then the child says, why? And after about the third or fourth time, our response basically becomes, because I say so. Can you relate to that? Because I say so. And I think God does the same thing, I think, in his own way. Every time something happens, we go, why, God? And he patiently tries to explain it. And then we go, why, God? And he patiently tries to explain it. And eventually, we just have to say, because God says so. Because God says so. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just settle into that silent wait. Psalm 37:7 states, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And from Psalms 46, verse 10, again reiterates, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Settle into that silent wait. Time does not work against God. Time isn't only of interest to we humans who are finite beings. It works against us. We rush for time. We fight against time. We try to beat the clock. I mean, think about how we fight time. Time, to God, is a tool. And sometimes we don't think about it. And time as a tool to God works as an advantage. We can all think about when we have benefited from a silent wait. Imagine if God did not encourage us to do this. Imagine if we, like a impetuous child, went up to God and said, I need this now, and he gave it to us. And I need this now, and he gave it to us. And I need this now, and he gave it to us. It would be making God, don't you think, into a vending machine? You put in your quarters, and you get what you want, hopefully, unless it sticks. And then you either settle into a silent wait, or you kick the machine, right? When we choose to settle into that silent wait, we choose not to make God a dispenser of goods. And that's a good thing, isn't it? When God draws me into a silent wait, he draws me to him. And I love that. When I come asking why, when I come asking when I come asking what is your plan, just like a child nagging for an answer, through that experience, I'm so glad God doesn't stop me short and not answer. Because then God allows me to know him better. He allows me to know his will. He allows me to know his character, and he allows me to know his way of doing things. In essence, my silent wait isn't sitting alone like a bad child in the corner. My silent wait is sitting next to God when his arm is around me, and he's loving on me, and he's allowing me time to figure it out. Don't you love that? So let's go back to the scripture. Let's go back to the first chapter, the fifth verse, where God answers Habakkuk saying, I am going to do something in your day. In fact, I'm doing something so astonishing that you would not believe me, even if you were told. That probably explains why God didn't reveal it to him earlier. He simply wasn't ready to receive it. Even if God would tell you, you probably and maybe not understand it. Then we just end up asking why again. God's plan is to discipline Judah by sending the Babylonians to conquer it. Habakkuk 1:5 states, look at the nations and watch. A silent wait doesn't mean we do nothing. We watch. God says, observe, watch, and learn. Be utterly amazed. The Babylonians had just defeated the Assyrians, another set of bad guys. And the Lord is going to use it against Judah, or at least God is going to allow a Babylonian rule.
This revelation really shocked Habakkuk. It was not something that he was expecting. Does God hear? I'm sure he asked. Well, yes, God does. Does God answer? Yes, in one of many ways. Is he concerned about injustice? Yes, and we've seen that all throughout the Bible. Can he do anything? Oh, he's done many things in the past. And will he do it? Yes, but not in the way that you may be thinking. How? And that is what shocked the prophet. Habakkuk could not accept God's way of resolving the issue. Let us read Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look upon evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallows up those more righteous than themselves? Habakkuk reacted immediately with a second complaint. Chapter 1, verse 12. How, God, can you do this? This is a bad plan. These Babylonians are worse than we are. And here's the blanks coming. There will be times when you disagree with what God has said or done and cannot accept what God has planned. So what are you going to do? Next blank. We must trust God, even when we do not understand his ways. You know, if an individual has his or her way, he will not seek God. He doesn't have to. If a person can do it themselves, they won't need God. Our only option is to trust him. In all good relationships, there is trust. And in all good relationships, we give one another some space, private space, personal space. Last lines.
in a sense, to trust God is to give him such space to do what he knows is best and right and good for your life. And we say, amen.
Amen.